Pediatric Associates isn't just a doctor's office. It's a tradition. My mom brought me here when I was a kid, and now I'm bringing my daughter here.
It seems like these days, doctor's offices are popping up everywhere, and then they're gone just as fast as they arrived. That's not for me. I need to know my doctor will be there for my kids, today, tomorrow, and years from now.
Since 1955, Pediatric Associates has been here when you need us, with convenient locations near you. Just visit us at pediatricassociates.com.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Ska Boobie and Yuppytones, baby. Yeah. So that's what we're doing right about now. We are playing music and vamping and trying to figure this whole mess out. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, and who knows if you are or not, given how this show started tonight, this is the Metal Hammer of Doom. I am your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I am mortified. Tonight, we are going to attempt to review Rob Zombie's latest opus, The Electric Warlock Acid Witch Satanic Orgy Celebration Spencer, which is his sixth solo album. Joining me tonight, crossing fingers, is my co-host, the man with the power of the hour, been uploading music for me, I think. We'll see how that goes tonight, because everything else is going wrong. Mr. Robert Cooper, are you there, sir? Tommy, can you hear me?
Actually, the really funny thing is, since I would say this is an album of subpar quality, it would indeed be a nopus. God, that pun was so bad, I had to laugh.
We're having troubles tonight, man. We are, let's peel back the curtain here for just a moment. Blog Talk was having all kinds of problems letting us in, and we couldn't hear each other, and we were just having all kinds of problems. But the good people at Blog Talk, I think, finally got us hooked in, and we are raring to go here. And I don't want to waste another minute. And if you're wondering why you got a little bit of Ska Boobie and the Yuppytones playing the Batman theme, literally, as the reset show was starting to air, I had to go to the potty, is what I had to do. I don't need to get into specifics. Needless to say, I Robert wasn't in the queue just yet, and I needed to take care of some business. Well, there was going to be a
mess. So would you say that the shit that you took is as big a turd as this album?
Even my wife thinks he all but stole from Primus, by the way.
Oh, that is, I mean, it's so blatant. And for this to be a sick
video Are you once again not talking into the microphone of your phone?
No, maybe I had the phone facing kind of outward. I don't know.
Okay,
that
now I can hear
better.
You. Whatever it is you're doing,
okay,
doing it.
Okay, I think what I was doing is actually I had the phone at a different angle because where it's at right now, my mouth is like right near the microphone. So, yeah, because I was holding it at a different angle. Yeah, but I have to sit with it here on the charger because, it'd be like last week where I was like, no, the fucking thing died right at the end. But, he ripped off Primus on the UFO song. And the funny thing is that this is a sixth studio album, and with the amount of half-assery that is in this album, you would expect this to be a 16th.
Half-assery, ladies and gentlemen. Let me ask you a question. What's your feeling on Rob Zombie? I don't think he's quite metal enough for you, but do you at the very least like some of his songs, or was this even before you knew just how bad this album was? I'm curious. Were you curious about it, or did you not care? Were you like, ugh, anything but this? Why, Mark? Why? Like, I'm curious to know like what your thoughts were on this album.
Rob Zombie in general, I'm a much bigger fan of White Zombie. There's a lot more groove in that. I find Rob Zombie's work, I like it. There's a lot of good things to be had in it, but there's a certain over-reliance on old horror clips after a while. Like, there's a certain point where I felt like he stopped being a musician and more... What the fuck? And more became something like a... he became more like a faux, like, director. He was like a movie director that started a band.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's some pretty good like clips he used in there. I'll never forget the Coffin Joe stuff, which those movies are really good, by the way. But I don't know. I have a lot of love for some of Rob Zombie's work, but I do have to say that I find myself disappointed with a lot of his solo work. Actually, I bought the one of the Walmart versions of his like greatest hits. It's like the silver collection, and I'm like, oh sweet, fuck yeah, it's gonna be great. So I picked it up. I went and picked it up, and then I was like, oh cool, these four White Zombie songs are on there. Because the first time I ever heard White Zombie was ECW One Night Stand 2005.
Okay.
Yeah, you remember that? They used that. I had it in my head and I couldn't figure out what it was. But then I was like, oh, cool, Rob Zombie. He looks so cool. I like his stuff. This was when I was metal, just getting into heavy metal. So I'm like, all right, cool, I'll buy this. And then the White Zombie songs were awesome. And then the Red Red Groovy, which used to be Edge's theme song. It's a pretty good song. And then there's songs like House of a Thousand Corpses. And I found them to be serviceable, and I like them enough, but they don't really stick around to me as well as the White Zombie stuff. And this album here, honest to goodness, I am befuddled at the fact that there's so little musicianship on it, because they have John Five. And I don't know if you've heard any of his solo work. He is a phenomenal guitarist. Absolutely wonderful.
Not shown on this record.
I know. You know, when I was listening to it, my first thought was you're trying way too hard. And then it's weird that like you'd have an artist that's on the one hand trying way too hard, and on the other hand has delivered such almost something like an unfinished product. I just thought it was a very insincere album. Let's all right, before we get too far into this, let me give my little bit here, and then on the band, and then we'll jump into it, because we've lost a lot of time here due to the technical difficulties we were having at the onset of the show. I got into White Zombie as a contemporary. I was listening to White Zombie when they came out, and I'm a huge fan of Thunderkiss 65 and Black Sunshine. That whole album was amazing. I was in love with the bassist, like every guy was, you know, back then. This was going back, you know, to the mid-90s, the early to mid-90s. I was in high school at the time, and even to this day, I can go back to the album that Thunderkiss 65 came from, and I was listening to it the other day, and I was like, wow, I miss old White Zombie. They really wrote some great heavy but still like semi-danceable music. It's one of the best albums I've heard, you know, in terms of music at that time. And while I've liked some of his solo stuff, it's the Lucasification of somebody. It's they get to the point where they're in a bubble. They're so good. They're so popular. They're so famous that they can put themselves in an insular bubble, and they can just do whatever they want, because up to this point, people have bought everything they put out, and there's no one telling them no. There's no editing going on, and sometimes that works. Sometimes you get like a Trent Reznor who 9 out of 10 times hits it out of the ballpark. I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but you know, people who are Trent Reznor fans will tell you that he does good more often than not. But on the other hand, I think more often than not, you have people who, when they're in a bubble and there's no editing going on and there's no there's no one there to collaborate with, and it's just somebody sort of just vomiting out all of this stuff, half the time it could be very successful, but the other half of the time you get a Phantom Menace or you get something like this. You know, in a lot of cases, I think you get someone's own exercise in masturbation and not a very good product. And while I said I've liked a lot of Rob Zombie solo stuff, the stuff that I didn't like is so bad it should be studied. So with that said, there's an intro track here we'll play a little part of, and then I'll immediately go ahead into track two. This is The Last of the Demons Defeated, and then we're going to go right into Satanic Cyanide.
The Last of the Demons Defeated.
the big guy. He will invade, and once he gets invited in, he doesn't go out.
Of the Demons Defeated, which is basically him saying the name of the album repeatedly, and then we went right into Satanic Cyanide, which, by the way, this whole album, you're only going to get about a minute of each track, because the entire album is about 30 minutes long, and I don't think there's a single track on here that goes above 3 minutes.
You are wrong.
Oh, the
final track is 5 and a half.
Oh, goodness gracious. But the rest of it.
But to prove your point, not a single track besides that one even goes over 3.
Woo!
All the other ones, yeah. Jesus H. Christ. When you guys were talking about, you and Jesse were talking about, well, you know, man, it was, this is not a whole ton there. It's pretty short stuff. And I'm like, huh. You know, I was like, there's got to be like 20 tracks here. We got to at least go into like punk territory where we have like 20 fucking 2 minute long songs. No. No, I don't know. It's just a regular 12-song album. What?
They're dangerously close to EP length.
Yeah, it's honestly, I have EPs that are longer than this, actually. The Throssenblatt Canada 2010 EP is longer than this, as well as the first Woods of You Pray. Seasons Against the Ashes, I think. That's 30-something minutes. I mean, quite honestly, I really feel like, I hate to say this, but it just feels so half-assed, and we're going to keep saying that a lot, but it's frustrating because this man's a professional, and it's not like he really releases music all that often anymore. So quite frankly, it befuddles me that you would have like a minute and a half intro that's like, okay, well, okay, I get the point across. And the second song starts like fucking bootleg Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, there's definitely some problems with this. And it's like weird because like I feel like he tried hard, and then came up with a half-assed album. We're gonna be saying that a lot tonight, I think. Let's go ahead and go on to track 3 here. This one sounds, at least if I remember correctly, I actually like this one. This one sounds like a song. instead of, as Jesse put it, samples that somebody wrote a song around. This one actually sounds like a fully realized musical number. This is The Life and Times of a Teenage Rock Guy.
I've been driving all night, a devil by my side. I used to call him Jekyll, now I call him Hyde. Teeth like granite, fingers of gold. I was getting ugly, or I was getting old. Sugar, 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 you're so mean. Honey, 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 drinking gasoline.
Teenage rock god, all the freaks come worship me. Teenage rock god, teenage rock god.
dangerously close to Living Dead Girl.
Yeah. The opening actually had me almost go, ooh, ah! Like, had me almost go fucking down with the sickness with that drum beat. But, yeah, there's a little bit of, I would say a little bit of self-plagiarism here on this song. Some of these songs, like, we'll get the one later, that I'm just like, I haven't heard this before. And that's a problem, because, again, John Five, love that guy, such a good guitarist, and yet, here he is here, just fucking wasting away. This is like Saint Anger, where they had Kirk Hammett at their disposal, and he didn't do anything. I can't even recall a single solo in this album, actually.
I mean, we listen to plenty of albums where, you know, tracks sound just like a track from an earlier album. But the style of music is not tremendously distinguishable. You know, there's only so much you can do with, like, death metal. I don't think it's a real fair complaint to say, like, oh, Cannibal Corpse sounds just like the last Cannibal Corpse album. I mean, sure, but that's sort of that style of music. That's like complaining that blue is too blue. However, Rob Zombie creates an array of music, so it's weird to hear him do a song that sounds almost exactly like a song he's already done before.
Yeah, not to mention a song he's done with, a different band, because White Zombie and Rob Zombie are different entities.
But Living Dead White Girl Zombie was a Rob Zombie song, but that was also, like, 20 years ago?
Was it? Yeah, it was. Yeah, I get it mixed up. Because, fuck, Jesus Christ. I just realized that White Zombie is, 30 years, 25?
Yeah, I'll give you some numbers here in a second. But Living Dead Girl by Rob Zombie, originally, no, that's not right. Living Dead Girl came out 1999 was the single.
Ooh, I remember 1999 pretty well.
So, 17 years ago. And White Zombie, the band, let's see, how old are they? White Zombie existed from 85 to 98.
Huh. Wow, 85. I didn't realize that.
And the album, let's see, Los Exorcistas, Devil Music Volume 1, that's the big one. That was the one they broke through with. It was 1992.
Oh, cool. So it's about a year older. You're about a year older than that. Yeah.
Yeah. So this will give you an idea of how old this music was. By the way, that album was almost an hour long.
Yeah.
I missed those days.
what, hour-long albums?
Yes.
You know I have plenty of those, right?
I was waiting
for you to say album. No, not albums with hour-long songs.
All right, anything else about Teenage Rock God there or / Living Dead Girl Redux?
I don't think he's been a Teenage Rock God for a very long time, but considering this song actually was passable, it was a decent song. I'd listen to it again. I can forgive the odd premise.
Okay. All right, so this next one, we're going to play it, and then we're going to play the song that we feel like he done stole from. Just outright, just jacked up the band and ran off with the goods. So there was actually a not safe for work video for this, which I just played for myself and my wife, who walked away disgusted, not at the video, but at the outright stealing of another band. So let's get into it. This is, everyone's fucking in a UFO.
Now some say that when I woke
tell you what I'm going to play here. I'm just going to play it, and you tell me if I got the wrong song here that they done stole from. All right? So here we go.
I would say you nail it like you're a teenage rock god, actually.
Well, I am a teenage rock. No, I'm not. I'm almost 40, dude. But yeah.
Yeah, and Rob Zombie's past 50, so.
So everybody's fucking in the UFO is basically a sex job of Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver, right down to the singing style. I mean... You know what that reminds me of? The South Park episode where the one kid's like, I think, chasing another kid around going, The Simpsons did it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because The Simpsons really have done everything.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, okay, you can experiment and try other things. And, you know, it might sound like something else. I mean, Lord knows we've talked about that before. And if it's unintentional, it's unintentional. But... this just feels like nobody was in the when he was doing this, nobody was in the room to tell him, buddy, that sounds way too much like Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver. You have to change that up a little bit. You know, even my wife, who's not a fan of either of these bands, figured that out.
Did you see
actually her exact quote was, hey, he stole that from Jerry Was a Race Car Driver. I'm like, get close.
Hey, at least she hit the right band.
She did. I was proud of her.
Yeah, that's why she's our hero. Yeah, the video for this song was just weird. Because everybody was fucking in the...
It's like that's like somebody's film school fucking project. When they were learning to edit.
Yeah, I would say so. It's like, all right, guys, here we go. You ready? Yeah. And so they sit down... about ready to do their paper, and they look at the clock and say, ah, shit, guys, we got 10 minutes. Hey, Billy, what project did you do last year? You mean the one about everybody fucking in the UFO? Oh, no, man, it's probably not a good thing to turn into the teacher. Sounds like the beaver thing I did last time. And they're like, well, I think we it's either do that or get a zero. All right. So then, you know, he went and turned his paper in at the last minute, along with Al Jorgensen.
Boy, if Rob Zombie and Surgical Meth Machine are what's passing as industrial's in sad, sad shape.
Yeah, would you say that that industrial has turned into the rust metal, the rust belt?
Oh, you're funny.
Oh, thank you.
You're a laugh, Ryan, Alice. All right, I think this is another instrumental one. I don't remember. After a while, I just kind of gave up on this album. This is a hearse that overturns with the coffin bursting open.
So revolting and yet so interesting. 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 So revolting and yet so interesting.
Thank you.
jump right into the next one here. This is Exhibitions of a Dedicated Gore Whore.
Wow, you fucking whore. What a
fucking whore. What a whore. What a whore. What a whore.
Off of something else too, but I can't place it.
You know, I can't
like
replace
that's
it from, either.
That's from back when I used to go dancing. So it's from something that was around in the late 90s, early 2000s. It might not even been like an industrial song per se. But that dance,
Yeah, it's I know I've mentioned before, but they have a very good musical mind on their hands with John 5. I mean, the bass lines have been pretty okay in this album as well. But what's confusing is that they're just settling for a very minimalist approach to everything, and it doesn't work. I mean, quite honestly, I think the time that even though they're not my favorite songs, when they use the movie clips, they're usually like fucking 8-minute long songs, like House of a Thousand Corpses. That works because they build a song around that clip instead of having a slight clip and then just kind of shoveling into the song, like, all right, guys, let's get this over with. Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, there just seems to be like this was very just phoned in. How could be phoned in and still like I'm sure, like, I don't feel like he thinks this is phoned in. It's just that sounds phoned in to me. I feel like he thought he was like, oh, I put extra special sauce on this one. I really pushed myself. Like, no, no, you didn't. This is garbage.
I wish Jesse were here to read off interviews for us.
I think I already said it before, but Jesse had a great line about this album. he's like, hey, I got this sample of a girl being fucked in the butt. Let's write a song on it.
I mean, and here's the thing. They already have a song. He already has a song with a girl being fucked up the butt. isn't it more human than human?
That's a lot of his repertoire.
It was it more human than human that has all the moaning?
Yes.
Yeah. That's
a great song, by the way.
I mean, there you go. Yeah, I mean, that's an awesome song. But quite frankly, the shock value is gone, my dear friend. You are quite literally old enough to be my dad, because he is the same age as my dad.
It is 2016. You're not really impressing anybody with sounds of girls fucking.
No.
Not at all.
I could. No. If I wanted to. God. And yeah, I think you're right. Like, I don't think Rob Zombie strikes me as kind of much of a half-assed guy, because his movies are like really detailed. It's like in the little things. Like, he really likes to throw in some little shit. And I can really respect that. But quite frankly, this is almost one of those albums where I have to say, like, either you need to fucking make the next one 10 times better or you're done, son. At least with me.
Alright. Let's get on with track 7 here. This is Medication for the Melancholy.
A great deal of my thoughts were basically quite unshareable. So I just close myself off and put on a mask of normalcy,
remind me of something else, which was nice. Just thought it was a good old-fashioned industrial rock and roll song. You know, nothing spectacular, but nothing like the last couple of songs that we heard, where I was just like, okay, what a waste of a night this is.
Yeah, this song here had a really nice guitar line to it. Instrumentally, it's actually pretty well done by what I've been able to hear from it. Why couldn't we get more of this? I mean, not every song has to be like this, but quite frankly, this is exactly what everybody signs up to Rob Zombie for. Kind of weird, but really fun. Maybe dance to it, you know, dance to it, headbang to it, do a little bit of both, you know, it'd be a good time. But frustrating is another word for this album, because like this song here, yeah, is it the best song ever? Nope. But it's good. I mean, it's a good song.
You know, it's funny. I think if we had heard it on a better album, we'd be like, "Eh, it's meh." But it's like one of the better songs on a shit album. So we're like, "Woo, go Rob!"
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, it's almost like being the worst song in a good album or the best song in a bad album. Like, which one would you rather be?
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I don't think this stands up enough to really be considered a good song in the terms of good songs. This is like a relative to the album. Like, kind of like sometimes you rate episodes of a TV show relative to the TV show, not really to everything. It's kind of like that. Like, this is a pretty good song for this album. which is the equivalent of being like, well, you know, for a guy like you, you're pretty good looking.
You're pretty smart for a black guy. Oh my God! You know, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah. Oh, actually, wow, yeah, that is 130% exactly like that. Oh yeah, you're pretty good smart for one of them people. What do you mean, them people?
You know. All right. People are going to start calling it. Hey, what the fuck, man? All right, this is track A. This is Get High.
Get high.
Alright, so after that. Oh, that one wasn't bad. Again, kind of, it's good for this album.
Yeah, actually, the full title of the song is In the Age of the Consecrated Vampire, we All Get High.
So I'm just reading something that I actually put in the show description. The album was released on April 29, 2016. Zombie described it as seriously our heaviest, most fucked up musical monster to date. Oof.
Of course that's what he has to say. It's like, I feel like he's contractually obligated to describe the album in those terms.
Again, the Lucasification of your own stuff.
Yeah.
George Lucas has come out of nowhere. Like, oh, midichlorians, yes.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like the midichlorians. Like, this song here was okay. When I was listening to it, I was just like, huh, it's kind of dumb. Maybe I'm the wrong person for this album.
Look, I mean, I think we've tackled some industrial in the past, and no, I don't think our record is good with industrial. We need to find them. Like, I'm going to need to go back in the archives and find like an industrial album for us to cover, you know, or do like a Ministry retrospective, you know, and really focus on like the good tracks, because, you know, if you haven't listened to much industrial and you're only getting a taste of industrial through what we cover on this show, then I have unfortunately fed you nothing but castor oil.
Yeah, you've not exactly done a very good job of making me love industrial. Like, I've never been a big industrial fan.
Well, you know what I think we're going to do? I think October is going to be Ministry month. We're going to do two shows. We're going to do a retrospective of Ministry on one show, and on another show, we're going to do a collection of Ministry covers, just because I want to, just because I know there's a ton out there, and they're fun to play. But, you know, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. I'll plug that in later. But we'll save that for October, for Horror Month here on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network. In the meantime, I think before the end of this year, I have to find like a decent new industrial record for us to review and not shit all over. Because I do like the music. It's not going well, folks. It's not going well. All right, track 9. This is Super Doom Hex Gloom.
What makes them single this group out as the agents of Satan? Who is this worried Goliath? And why is he so afraid of this newfound David?
This is In the Bone Pile.
Well, I was born with a knife in my hand. I can't get my to turn into a man. Well, I was born with sticks in my hand. I don't give a shit with what I said. Well, I was born with blackened eyes. What I hate ain't no surprise. Well, I was born to love a scream.
song on this album. That's saying something.
Oh, I mean, quite frankly, for, I don't know if that's saying something. If saying something would imply that this is a good album.
Okay.
So far we've had a review that was pretty good for about three albums. The rest of them we were like, I think I'd much rather floss my asshole with fucking piano wire.
Oh no.
Right? Isn't it the worst? Yeah, okay, I found some industrial bands that I legitimately like by just Wikipedia industrial metal. Nail Bomb's a really good one.
Okay.
I don't know if you listen
Nail
to them.
I don't know if I would call them Nail Bomb industrial, though.
Okay, they're kind
Fear of... Fear Factory, that's a good one.
Rammstein,
that's another good one. They actually have an album coming out either this year or next year. Fear Factory...
Static X?
They're okay. See, Fear Factory had an album that came out last year. The one that came out before that in 2012 was actually really, really good. Go ahead. What else did you find?
Oh, let's see. Just Static X. They're decent. They've had some decent stuff. They're really... they're one of those bands that when I listen to them... I feel like they're good for like a song or two. Like some of those bands that you don't have to listen to all their stuff. You can just listen to a few songs and be content. Let's see, Rob Zombie, of course. You know, honestly, Marilyn Manson, I listened to some of the stuff off his new album and I really liked it, but he's never really done a whole lot for me. If that's maybe it's just because there's a lot of hype around him, but I don't know. I just never super duper got into him like all the other kids of my age in the mid-2000s. You know, because he was a big, evil, I would say anti-corporate, but really just kind of some big, evil boogeyman for the super Christian parents to dislike.
So I'm on the Amazon.com hot new releases for goth and industrial. Okay? I'm actually just going to go to industrial. Hot new industrial albums. There's a new Einstein Newbotten, I think. Yeah.
Bless you.
There's a new Einstein Newbotten that they've been around forever. That actually was released April 1st. There's a new Christian Death that's more goth. There's a new Marilyn Manson called Tourniquet, it looks like, that came out in March. There's a new KLF, because KLF's going to rock you. And a new Pitch Shifter. Ooh, Pitch Shifter's really good, actually.
I remember there being a Pitch Shifter song in a Need for Speed game I played, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Pitch Shifter's actually not bad. You can buy their album for a penny on Amazon. So that's terrific.
Speaking of industrial, let me look up this band here. I think they're industrial. Cell Dweller?
Never heard of them.
Let's see. Yeah, they're an industrial. They do some like industrial and electronic rock stuff. Well, it's one guy, but they were in a Need for Speed game, and then I looked up a song of theirs called Birthright, and they've had some really cool stuff. Some of the stuff even veers into a little bit of industrial death metal. I definitely recommend anybody listening to kind of look into Cell Dweller. It's worth a shot. I mean, hey, it can't be any worse than this album.
Okay. All right. I have right now the list of 2016 albums. I normally just look up like, you know, the ones in by genre, so heavy metal, obviously, but that doesn't necessarily incorporate industrial bands. Like it didn't include the new Surgical Meth Machine, but it did include Rob Zombie, but then Rob Zombie is considered heavy metal, so whatever. So let's go ahead and play another song here, and I'm going to see, this is Get Your Boots On, this actually is not a bad song either. Go ahead and play this, and I'm going to see if we can find something on the calendar that we can review and not hate.
Yeah.
Disappointed. I would give this a D, maybe a C minus. I haven't been this disappointed in an album in a long time. I was really looking forward to it. I thought the name was hilarious, but I think the name says a lot about the music, where again, it's just you're just trying too hard, and ultimately you're coming up with garbage. That's really all I have to say. I don't want to belabor the point. I think there were a handful of listable songs on here and a whole lot of not quite, you know, Al Jorgensen walking, you know, drunk and naked into the studio and smashing things like our surgical meth machine review. More just, you know, ooh, look what I can do. And nobody telling him, yeah, that shit, try it again. Or, yeah, Rob, that shit, try it again. Speaking of Rob?
Well, as a fellow Rob, I'm quite disappointed. I'm not going to say I was anticipating this album nearly as much as you were, mainly because I guess Rob Zombie is not necessarily an important figure of my musical life. He's kind of like that uncle that you see like every few Christmases. You know, when you see him, you're like, oh, hey, what's up, buddy? And you have a nice time, and it's okay, but you don't really miss him when he's not there. That's kind of what I would describe this, really Rob Zombie in general. But this album here, really, it disappointed me because I know there could be so much better. John 5 is in the band. Rob Zombie's got very interesting musical ideas at times. And a few of them came out. Like, about three tracks on this album, I would say, are actually good. They're No, okay, maybe two are good. One's good for the album, but two of them are, I mean, I feel like good additions to his catalog. But the unfortunate part of it is that the rest of this album is a sound clip, like, fart box shithole. Yeah, there you go. Pretty much I just ended up calling this thing an asshole in the toilet. So yeah, I'm just not a big fan of it. If I were to give it a grade, I'd give it 2 out of 10. So that would equal about 1 star. There you go. I'll make sure we get all three of our scoring systems in. The reason I didn't give an absolute bottom of the barrel is because there are some good songs on here. But quite frankly, most of this album is just a jumbled mess. It's not good at all. Is it an improvement over Surgical Meth Machine? Sure. But brushing my teeth with a toothbrush that was just scrubbed in a prison toilet, used to scrub a prison toilet, should I say, is probably an improvement over Surgical Meth Machine. Honestly, I think I'd rather do meth than listen to that album again. So quite frankly, Rob Zombie, Try Harder. And then just try harder, man. Like, you can do it. You've got the people and the faculties. Really, just stop making movies for 3 seconds. Do some music.
Well, I would actually say stop trying so hard, actually. I would say stop trying so hard, but maybe include some other people in the process. And, you know, listen and collaborate. Collaborate and listen. You know, take some advice from Vanilla Ice.
Yeah. Get a contractor's license. And then you can make reality shows.
All right. So that's the end of our show. Sorry this one was kind of a concocted mess. We had some technical difficulties at the beginning, and then we couldn't even sort of pick it up with, like, a better, like, a good review of the album, and the album was kind of So tomorrow night, Long Road to Riggs includes a look at the Hunger Games. Next week, here's what we got going on in the world of the Rattlage and Broadcasting Network. Robert Winfrey and Jeff Harris will be reviewing Overeem versus Arlovsky on Sunday. That fight will take place earlier in the day on Mudda's Day. Mudda. Source Material will be presenting their Civil War discussion, in which I will say that the Thorbot in Civil War is gay. So look forward to that. We have a special Rob's Choice on Tuesday. It's kind of like Lady's Choice. This is Rob's Choice. Metal Hammer of Doom will be looking at Vector. And the album is Terminal Redux, which comes out on Friday, which is the day after tomorrow. On Wednesday, 5/11, we'll be reviewing. It's the beginning of our summer blockbuster season. It's the happiest time of the season, other than Christmas time for me. Robert Winfrey and I will be reviewing Captain America: Civil War. And on the 12th, Long Road to Ruin continues. With no break, and we lost our break when Prince died, unfortunately. We ran a tribute and pushed everything off a week, so we'll be doing back-to-back shows. It's May, and we decided that May is baseball month. This is no apparent reason. So we'll be looking at the Bad News Bears. The week after that, Metal Hammer of Doom will be reviewing Hatebreed, The Concrete Confessional, which has to be a good album. It just has to be. The summer review series goes on with Money Monster, and we'll be concluding our look at baseball movies in the month of May with the Major League trilogy. That's enough for now. Robert, you want to quick do your plugs?
Sure. I will plug this in like a dead cell phone. All right. So the Sentai Writer Having a Fun Time podcast that I like to call the Sentai Writer podcast, and now has over 330 people liking it on Facebook, for God knows why. Hoping to start something up with that in the next few weeks. Got to talk to Hunter, see what we can figure out, because, yay, I'm almost on summer vacation, so I can watch things and record podcasts again. Oh, boy. So take a look out for that one. We review Tokusatsu, your Japanese Power Rangers, if you will. I'm a little behind. Okay, I'm really behind. I'm like 25 episodes behind on one series and like 10 on another. God, I'm a horrible person. So there is that. The WTM Network on Spreaker.com, Wrestling to the Max, as well as Sports to the Max and Video Games to the Max by my friend John Garmer. Love that guy. He's a man. And then there is Source Material, which is Jesse Charger, our third man that's usually in the booth. I'm hoping to do some Vinland Saga
with
him.
This album was so bad, even Jesse Starcher didn't show up.
That's right. He didn't even comment on it, like, on the live show. It's that bad. And one thing I'm just going to bring up now so I can mention it to him later. There's totally a comic book that if he's not booked all the way to November, that we're going to totally have to do. It's a manga. But since it was released in the like late 90s, it's flipped like a comic book. It's called Eagle, The Making of an Asian American President. It's about a fictional Asian American senator from New York trying to win the 1999 election. And it is an absolutely fascinating, almost outsider look. It is an outsider look at late 90s politics. And I think it's absolutely wonderful. It's getting really good. And it's only 10 volumes, which is like maybe 100 issues. Wow, that actually, you know, I kind of realized that manga is a lot different from comic books, because when I say 100 issues of Superman, people shit their pants, but I'm like, it's only 100 chapters of Naruto, that's only a seventh of it, you know, that's something really different, but yeah, it's totally bringing that up, so get that idea in Jesse's head, so we can review something politically themed for November, since I know Mark is absolutely excited.
Figure out between now and November what our turkey of an album is that we're going to cover.
Ooh,
let's remember,
yeah,
we decided that
yeah.
November is Turkey Month.
It is, because we'll do a turkey, and then Jesse and I will do a turkey for Thanksgiving. Ooh, we're going
right.
to...
It was hard to top last year's Best of Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, and then we... combine that with Cold Lake by Celtic Frost, and it was interesting. By the way, I looked at the stats on Blog Talk. Our most listened to episode of the past week has been the Nightwish retrospective. It still got like 15 listens this week, and I'm like, what the fuck, people? Like that, Killswitch, the second Baby Metal album, and then my Death retrospective got like 7 listens, which is interesting.
Yeah, we do okay. I'm thinking maybe something from like the 80s. I don't know. We'll talk about it offline. I have some ideas, but you know, we'll see. In the meantime, I think that's it, everybody. I think I just want to go lay down now. So, for Mr. Robert Winfrey. Mr. Robert Cooper. Sorry, for Mr. Robert Cooper. This has been the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network production of The Metal Hammer of Doom's review of Rob Zombie, The Electric Warlock, Acid Witch, etc., etc. We'll see you next week for hopefully a better album than this. Be well, be safe, and behave.
Pediatric Associates isn't just a doctor's office. It's a tradition. My mom brought me here when I was a kid, and now I'm bringing my daughter here.
It seems like these days, doctor's offices are popping up everywhere, and then they're gone just as fast as they arrived. That's not for me. I need to know my doctor will be there for my kids, today, tomorrow, and years from now.
Since 1955, Pediatric Associates has been here when you need us, with convenient locations near you. Just visit us at pediatricassociates.com.
Hi, I'm Benny Jr. with Bartow Ford. You know, you've heard me talk about all of our awards and sales numbers, but sometimes we fail to mention what really makes that happen. Simply put, that's our culture. Our founding father, Ernest Smith, a long time ago, came up with a philosophy that said, take care of the customers, take care of the employees, and take care of the community that you live in. My father carried on that tradition and taught it to me. We have not strayed from that philosophy for over 73 years, nor will we ever, because at Bartow Ford, we're different, and we prove it.